Patriots Football Weekly is delivered to you by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? Morning Meeting, brought to you by Verizon. Better matters.
Oh, guys, that was not on anyone's radar. There is a lot of work to be done in a short period of time in which to do it.
No time to dwell on it, but no time to fix it either.
I know, but that's the problem, right?
Well, maybe.
Or
maybe less time to overthink
yeah.
it and more time to just play football.
Okay, I like where you're going there.
Right?
Simplify things.
Well, Andy and Paul generally look at things on the positive side.
Okay.
You know, that's where we are.
No, but let's run with that.
I know we're a month into this, and a lot of expectations and evaluations are changing. But it wasn't that long ago you thought this was the most talented team in football. Maybe it's time to roll the ball out there and play football and just compete. Compete more than you have. Everyone knows it's a tough spot, right? This is a spot where, oh, short week, on the road, Thursday night football. The road team never wins on Thursday night football. Go play football.
Well, when you talk about everyone thought that this was the most talented team in football, you're right. There's no doubt. They were the odds-on favorite to go all the way. But were we overlooking some things on defense, some things more that we didn't know and we were just assuming?
Well, there were definitely elements. And I would say that most of us wondered about the front seven.
Sure.
And wondered whether or not there was enough talent there. Two things, though. I think we felt like there was. They would be able to get by with combinations of what they had up front with the young guys. But more importantly, I think we've all felt the secondary would help protect that front seven. So maybe they wouldn't get a tremendous amount of pressure on the passer, but they'd be able to cover a little bit longer. And they haven't been able to get run on really consistently, what, 5 years? It's been a long time
right.
since teams have been able to run the ball consistently well against the Patriots. In the first month of the season, teams ran the ball pretty well.
Well, you know, in game one, there's no doubt. I think they've gotten better against the run as we've gone along.
Not this week.
They gave up 140 yards on the ground.
Could have driven
Panthers.
A golf cart right up the middle
know,
with some of those runs.
44 of those yards were Cam Newton.
Okay, so they gave up 100 yards to the Panthers.
Yeah.
That's not
the
good.
Quarterback counts, too, when it's just a draw.
I
it's a simple run.
A lot
they
of,
weren't scrambles.
Yeah.
He was just running right
there
up
were
the
no
middle.
Scrambles.
No, I know they weren't scrambles.
Runs.
They were designed runs, but I don't think he was accounted for.
The worst part.
I don't think it's an inability to stop the run. I think.
Well, in three out of the four games, they've had a really tough time stopping the run.
Yeah.
The one game in New Orleans, they shut the run down.
Yeah, but the focus has to be on pass coverage.
Well, the focus has to be on, to me, opposing offenses looking better than they either should be or at very least have been coming in, right? We're talking about these teams, you know, Deshaun Watson. Okay, well, the next week he looks good again. So remember when it used to be the Patriots started slumps? Like, you'd play the Patriots,
sure.
there'd be a hangover.
Sure.
Well, it's the exact opposite now.
Now we're kick-starting seasons.
Right. You're giving people bumps. You're boosting Hunt's career. You're making Drew Brees feel good about himself. You're making Watson look like a veteran, not a rookie. And Cam Newton this week looked like the MVP again.
Well,
he looked like he could run and throw.
You know, and we can break it down player by player and what we expected of them and what they're actually doing up to this point. But what bothers me above all when it comes to the defense is this whole thing with communication. That has nothing to do with the number of pads you had on in practice or how physical you can get in
right.
practice. We're talking communication, and that, we assume, was being worked on since the spring.
Well,
there's no one involved here in the backfield that wasn't here very early in this process.
And
you don't need to have pads on to get
that right.
But it's a catch-22.
Right. You either look at it as a good thing. You're not really getting beaten as much as you are failing to cover, which maybe that says, I can fix that. That's a theoretical. Or you could say what you're saying. 7-8 months into it, why are we still having so many problems communicating? You can communicate in April and in May
right.
and in June and in a classroom and in any room in the building, right? You don't even have to be on the field to work on communication
yeah, that's
and
right.
see the same thing.
That's things. My point.
So, but is that good or bad? Would be my question. Like, Tony Dungy, on Sunday night, football night in America, he thinks it's a good thing because it's something that needs cleaning up. It's sort of a cerebral thing more than a, Paul, it's not a can't. They're not doing it right now.
Well, there is the case to be made that, and Bill has talked about this, you know, different players learn different ways. Some can learn in the classroom. Some can learn in practice. Some have to be in a game and experience it at full speed in order to get it.
How many games?
Well, maybe four.
Four are gone.
Hopefully four.
We're at
four.
Quarterway through the season now. Let's pick up the pace.
But maybe that, you know, and if that's the case, then Dungy may be right. Maybe there are a couple people, and, you know, we're all thinking the same guy, Stephon Gilmore. Maybe he does need to see it at game speed you know, to for it to start sinking in for him.
See, but I also think that it's the problems are widespread, and I do understand that if it's communication, if that's all it is, that's absolutely fixable. There's no question you can fix that.
How long does it take?
I think there's a I think Gilmore's problem is probably communication.
I think he can cover, right?
I think Butler Maybe. And Rowe have gotten beaten a lot in coverage. I think McCourty has gotten beaten in coverage. I think they've had a good mix of coverage breakdowns, communication breakdowns, maybe guys trying to cover for other guys. Andy brought up a
That's
good point
I think
in
is.
The postgame about, you know, maybe McCourty. He's a guy who's been here forever. He obviously knows exactly what he's doing. Maybe he's worried a little bit about what Gilmore's doing, yeah. a little bit too much. That whole do your job thing, maybe that's causing problems.
See, what you're saying, I agree. The problems are widespread. But as, again, we've been taught by, you know, Bill before, I'd rather have everybody on the same page and be wrong than one guy on one page and everybody right. else on another page. Is that perhaps what we're seeing?
Sure.
In that, you know, when you have one or two guys who are not doing it right, a guy like McCourty stands back there and says, oh, this doesn't look right, and he doesn't know what to do.
Right, and we've actually seen, I know we're focusing on the back end, we've seen a lot of Patrick Chung and Kyle Van Noy sort of yelling at each other, gesturing at, right before the snap, pushing each other. And so that's not just right. Gilmore and McCourty in the real back end. Chung is sort of up in that second level with the linebackers. That's been an issue, too. I've seen, you know, Dante Hightower have to kick Dietrich Wise or Lawrence Guy, and he's like, what? Move over.
They're moving all over the place.
There are a lot of issues, and it's not just in the back end. The back end is just the most obvious because when guys are going 45 yards downfield uncovered, it's obvious.
And I'll tell you one other thing in terms of that, and I think we've seen the last 2 weeks especially, but you saw it certainly opening night with Kansas City. Teams are coming in with a lot of different wrinkles in the offense. It's not a lot of trick plays, but you saw Carolina using like multiple backs in the backfield, different kind of jet sweep action, you know, some fakes, some unconventional plays. You saw Tyreek Hill do that opening night with some different things. They weren't all successful, but they're throwing them out there. And I think that's leading to some of the confusion. Some of these things, you know, what exactly are we going after? You can expect to see more of that.
This game coming up will be no relief. I mean, I think this Tampa Bay Buccaneers
team
is a young team.
They have some weapons.
They've got some definite weapons there. You know, a guy like Evans, he's tough to cover for anybody.
Some people think they're a sleeper Super Bowl team.
Yeah?
That was me, by the way. I'm the only person, I think.
Well, we won't have to wait long to see if they can make any improvements.
Today's show is brought to you in part by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? Fisher Plows. The legacy rolls on. Visit fisherplows.com. And also brought to you in part by AT&T. Entertainment your way.
This week's From the Heart, there is only one matchup to look at. The Tampa Bay Bucs passing game led by Jameis Winston against the Patriots pass defense, the worst defense in the NFL. There's not a lot of time this week, right? The communication and the issues that are failing on that side of the football, not enough time to clean it up. So it's a simple solution. To deal with DeSean Jackson, man up. Malcolm Butler, you have him. Stephon Gilmore, you have Mike Evans. The tight end, O.J. Howard, young rookie making plays. Safeties, deal with him and the running backs. The only solution this week is to keep it simple, stupid. It's a little bit like my Saturdays, flag football. Every kid grabs a man. Where that guy goes, you go. No communication, no signals, no messes. It's simple. Win on Thursday night by manning up, playing football, and competing.
Been a lot of attention on the defensive side of the ball for the Patriots. Not as much so with that offensive line and the struggles that have been going on there. The offense has been very productive all season long. Tops in football and points scored. But that's no thanks to the pass protection. Things have to get better up front, especially at the tackle positions. Nate Solder and Marcus Cannon. Cannon came back after missing week 3 with an injury, and he really struggled against Julius Peppers. Things have to tighten up, but it should be able to happen this week on Thursday against a Tampa team that has only had one sack in 3 games. If you can't protect Tom Brady any better than you have, he's been sacked 13 times the first month of the season. That can't continue. I don't care if he's 40 or 20. The Patriots' pass protection has to improve.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
This week's Trash Talk, some people think there's a simple solution, and by some I mean me, man up. But Paul Perillo says, not so fast, question mark?
You know, not surprising you take the simple solution and just think that that cures all that ails the Patriots' defense. Yes.
The complicated hasn't worked.
The communication has been a major issue. They have to clean some of this stuff up. But I think that some of the problem, I think, is stemming from too many people trying to do too much in that secondary. They have to
exactly
sort of worry about your own job. It's not just a magical
point to
we'll
a guy across
man,
the ball and run
we'll
with
play
them.
Man-to-man, and that's going
it to... It's the cure-all.
Well, that's some tough
that's
matchups.
That's what other fans tell me.
That's some tough matchups. Mike Evans and DeSean Jackson are not easy guys to just man up and lock down.
Luckily, the Patriots have two Pro Bowl corners to use against them.
Well, what's going to be better, Pro Bowl corners or all-pro receivers? Because I think you have a chance to get outmatched here if you just want to go one-on-one all the time. And then if you're going to just dictate that and go 60 minutes and play like that, you're going to get picked to death.
I'm going to have a big lead by halftime.
If you play all-man coverage, you can't just expect to run free and be able to press your guy and not have to worry about what anybody else is doing. Tight ends are going to be involved in this.
So they can fix
the zone
that hasn't worked this week.
Well, I didn't say you're going to fix it.
Because what's happening right now is not working.
It's not good enough.
We're
not wrong about that.
If my plan works, you know what I'm sure doesn't work? What they were doing on this field the other afternoon, correct?
Right.
I mean, it looked hideous.
The question you're asking me
is... It's like Jake from State Farm.
Would I rather have coverage breakdowns due to communication leaving guys wide open or just playing getting beat one-on-one?
I'd much rather be
beat. They did plenty of that on Sunday, too, by the way.
I'd much rather just get beat one-on-one than let guys run.
Fortunately, Cam Newton didn't see Devin Funchess run right by Malcolm Butler, who was playing man-to-man, you know, the cure that of everything, the magic fix.
The hardest thing that Cam Newton had to do was pick between the wide open receivers on most plays. Because most plays, there were multiples. Because the confusion level is way up right now.
I agree.
They use communication as a cover-up for confusion, in my opinion.
I agree.
And I just don't see, when you have a Monday and a Tuesday, basically, right? That's all you got, Monday and a Tuesday. And then you get on a plane on Wednesday to play on Thursday. Not to mention, you're spending extra time to get your body ready. So it's not just the mental that needs cleaning up. I just think, simplify it. You know, we always keep it simple, stupid. The easiest thing to do on a football field, right, or on a basketball court, or anything, right? There's no explaining. There's no communication. You take a man, I'll take a man. Now, you may not be able to cover him every play, right?
Yeah.
I understand you may have some losses there, but you're giving up 350 yards a game, essentially, through the air by trying it your way. I think you need to try something different. And, oh, by the way, it may play into Stephon Gilmore's abilities, or at least give him a week to not freak out if it's a confidence issue or whatever's going on with him. Just run with a guy.
I do agree that they need to do things a little bit, maybe a little simpler. I don't know. You listen to some of the quotes that come out of the locker room, and it's not all that complicated.
Right. No.
You know,
I mean, Daron Harmon made it sound simple. Right. Can't get much simpler.
Now, and I agree with you that just flat man coverage, that's as simple as it gets, and that's what a lot of cover corners, and I'm sure that's what Stephon Gilmore feels most comfortable to do. I have no objections to trying to do that Thursday night. As a long-term solution, 100% of the time, I'm against it. I think that they don't have the ability to do that on a week-in, a week-out basis. But, you know, for this week, you might be right. I'm a little skeptical that that's going to fix it all, Andy. There's a widespread problem on that defense. I'm not sure what the solution is.
It may not be the be-all, end-all, cure-all, but for a week, I do think it's the best plan.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner and New England's best ticket source for all Patriots games. Visit aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. Also brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Around the NFL is brought to you by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason?
Here's a little dose of how nutty things stand at the NFL's quarter poll. The Los Angeles Rams and their 31-year-old head coach, Sean McVay, are on top of the NFC West and the NFL scoring column. The Buffalo Bills, boasting the stingiest defense in the league, just went down to Atlanta and knocked off the undefeated Falcons. The Jersey Jets have won two games. Two! The NFC South is the only division where no team has a losing record. Only the Indianapolis Colts have allowed more points than, you might want to use your earmuffs here, the New England Patriots. The only thing that makes sense at this point is that the Cleveland Browns are 0-4. Crazy stuff. I guess we'll just have to keep watching.
Players Perspective. Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Joining me now at Gillette Stadium, Patriots record-setting kicker Stephen Gostkowski. I believe you now go by Mr. 58. Is that what it is?
No, not quite. It was fun to get a long kick in a cool situation. Just was on a good day to kick, and the ball was flying, and you never know when you're going to get those opportunities, and to be able to take advantage of it was a lot of fun. It kind of feels like a foul ball that we – it would have been nice to have that kick and us win, but, you know, you can't have it all. So it was nice to get put in that situation and be able to pull through.
When you hit those long ones, do you know when it leaves your foot that's a – you know, I struck that well, there's a pretty good chance that's good, or what do you – what's in your mind?
I usually don't worry about coming up short on stuff like that. Really, I just try not to kick it too hard. The hardest thing about those kicks is you never know what the wind's going to be, and it's hard to keep the ball in the air straight for that long. You know, real long kicks, honestly, the pressure – to me, the pressure's less because no one expects you to make it. So you just run out there and give it, you know, your good old college try, and it's nice to be able to take advantage of those on, like, a nice weather day, you know, when you're feeling good. So it was cool.
The other part of your job is obviously kickoffs, and we've seen you, I think, treat it differently at different times this year, boom some through, put some in the end zone, and then hit some high right at the goal line. How has that change that's happened over the last year plus with that strategy, how have you sort of gotten used to that?
It's actually been exciting because part of the thing with kicking is sometimes you just get into doing the same thing over and over and over again and become monotonous, and then you kind of lose your focus with the kicking off and the new rule and not wanting touchbacks because you don't want to give them the extra 5 yards. It's really fun for the whole team because our special teams guys work so hard, and for them to get to make big plays and for the team to get excited if we get them inside the 20 or even like on the 15, and to not give them those extra yards and to play aggressively, to not just say, here, take the ball on the 25. I think guys are really into that.
So we obviously see you spend a lot of time with Ryan Allen and your Joe Cardona, your long snapper, but I see you celebrating a lot with Alan Branch. Post-kick, where did that come from, and what's that all about?
Well, Alan is just one of the funniest, like, carefree guys. He's always dancing and having fun. And, you know, him being on the field goal team, having a couple of characters, some alignment, it's fun to celebrate with those guys. We don't get to score the touchdowns and stuff. And I just try to make it the dorkiest looking high five that I could possibly can. And, you know, I take my job seriously, but I don't take myself seriously. I'm not going to run around and make an idiot of myself celebrating, but do something dorky. You know, we're both dads. We both have kids. You know, try to embarrass them a little bit.
Well, just so you know, you've nailed the dorky high five.
Thank you very much.
You, your advisor, and Putnam. Pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Okay, it's that time of the show when we answer the questions you sent to AskPFW at Patriots.com.
Only read the positive ones.
Right.
All right, we'll be back next week.
Okay, well, you be the judge of whether or not they're positive. Bryant Smith kicks it off, and he says, the Patriots secondary is struggling when on paper it should be one of the best in the NFL. Have the Patriots messed up the pay scale of players in the secondary by signing Stephon Gilmore and not re-signing Logan Ryan?
Right now it doesn't look good. I mean, to be honest, when Logan Ryan was here, they didn't give up big plays. They had one of the better defenses in football. Now Gilmore is here, and you give up a lot of big plays. And sometimes, Paul and I talked about this on the Patriots.com postgame show, the devil you know. Is physically Stephon Gilmore better? Yes. Could Logan Ryan be a better fit for your defense? I think that could also be a yes. Now, there's a long way to go, but the early returns are in, and it doesn't look good.
And what you don't know is if some of those other guys in the secondary are resentful to Bryant's email here about the pay. You know, we generally, you know, you have to earn your way up, do your job. And this guy came in from the outside. He got a big contract, and the other guys might be saying, we won all these football games. We've won Super Bowls, and we don't have those kinds of contracts. I don't know if that's a problem, because only those guys, only Malcolm Butler, only, you know, Daron Harmon, Devin McCourty, and the rest of the guys in that secondary can answer that question. We can't.
Ray, well, Nikki writes in, we are another concussion or injury away from losing Danny Amendola, which would be disastrous. Any thoughts on picking up Keyshawn Martin, who's a free agent? I think I'd rather have him on the active roster than Philip Dorsett.
You know, this is an interesting question. A couple of weeks ago, I was definitely advocating for Keyshawn Martin, but Amendola has been so good in his limited role. They're certainly cutting back on his role on the offense. I think they're sort of picking their spots. When they get desperate, Tom Brady looks to him at the end of games, and he's coming through. And he's also done a nice job with punt returns. I get the concern. I have the same one. If you lose Amendola, then what? Keyshawn Martin would probably still be available. So, you know, I wouldn't. Well, I mean, you were a month into the season. He's still on the street. Chances are he's a guy, you know, he's familiar with the offense. He's already been here. He could probably get plugged in if they needed someone. But right now, I like Dorsett's potential, and certainly Amendola is doing a great job.
Alan Bernstein is not happy. I know this one's negative. What are we seeing in 2017 is what we're seeing in 2009, a team that couldn't gel, that had guys who didn't take to coaching, and a team that wasn't tough enough. Back then, we talked about Belichick, the GM, hurting Belichick, the coach. Is it fair to revisit that mantra in 2017?
Well, what you don't know, this is sort of back to the Logan Ryan, Stephon Gilmore, and what the ripple effect in the locker room is. I don't know. Certainly on paper, Dwayne Allen hasn't really done much. Stephon Gilmore's gotten off to a slow start. Brandon Cooks has been okay, but I don't even think as good as Andy and I saw on the practice field. So some of the acquisitions haven't been. David Harris isn't even active.
Yeah.
They can't get on the field. They can't really. They haven't really contributed greatly to a lot of the team's success. But what you don't know is the attitude. You know, Coney Ealy's no longer here. James O'Shaughnessy didn't make it out of camp. I don't know if these guys came in with an attitude that wasn't conducive to quote unquote the Patriot way. And it's hard to know for sure exactly how they fit in with the locker room because you don't know the dynamic with the teammates. But it's safe to say that it hasn't been – it looked like a great offseason. People were talking about the dream team, and I was guilty of it. I thought they had a chance, a very legitimate one, to go undefeated. Certainly, they haven't played anywhere near to that level.
All right. Week 4, keep watching, and keep sending your questions to askpfw@patriots.com.